my eye on them every day, but usually I use about 4 or 5 day averages.
See if the pars are holding up.
Wait.
Oh. To see if the pars are still good.
Yeah, to see if there's not a big swing or a big variation. Yeah.
Different than the variant itself. You know, what part of the pace line figures are actually being adjusted by the by the running variant that you have?
The first, second, and third fraction are the only things that are being adjusted. The velocities for the first fraction, the second fraction, and the third fraction. After that, the adjustment is not applied to early pace, sustained pace, factor W, or anything. It's only applied to the first three fractions, and then all the compoundings are done after that. Is that clear? Evidently not.
I'm not sure what your question is. Right? You're asking what is being adjusted, and the answer that Bob is giving is that the adjustment goes on all the fractions. That's all. It's just the fractional velocities that you have. You are saying, let's say the difference that we found out just by this exercise is 2 feet per second. Let us say the average 8.5 furlong race at your track runs 2 feet per second slower than your average 6 furlong race. So in order to adjust those two races, we subtract from the 6 furlong baseline 2 feet per second from each fraction. And we are saying that would pretty well equalize it with the 8.5 furlong.
That I understand.
Okay.
Distance.
In other words, it's a 6 furlong pace line or a 6 furlong race?
There is.
Why the heck would you want to adjust
anything?
There is
anything?
No adjustment.
Zero.
No.
Now, we're going to get from, when we're dealing with just distance adjustments now, okay? Your question is going to take us into surface adjustments.
Okay.
Okay, that's another category. I just want to make sure we're clear on how to do a distance adjustment. Do you realize you can use the same technique? It doesn't matter where that 8.5 furlong race is. It could be on, you know, Jupiter Downs. And you could be at Belmont. If you could use that same technique, if you had pace lines from another track, if you had races from another track, you average them up, you get your average variant there, and you can adjust your average variant from your track to whatever track it is. So this works from track to track. Yeah, that's the third category of adjustment. We're talking about three categories of adjustments.
In other words, you just class modify track to track.
Right.
Right. And what now, it used to be that we used 20% per class level, 20% up or down of our adjustment. That's on page 88, has the various class levels. Okay. What Tom Brohammer has come out with is just, instead of going through all the work of calculating it, he found a flat minus 0.15 per class level. Works just about as well. You can use either one of those. That's the class adjustment. Okay, so we have distance adjustments, we have class adjustments. The third kind of adjustment that we do is surface adjustments. Those come in two flavors. First flavor is turf to dirt. Now, when we use a variant for a turf race, we do it from the winner of these races, and we use the winner's average pace. Why do we do this? We do this because the energy requirements of a turf race are much different than the energy requirements of a dirt race. And if you were just to use the pace of the race, you would get a figure which was skewed the wrong way. So when you calculate your average variant for a turf race, from every one of those turf races, you must use the winner's average pace. Or if you're using the par gen number, the winner's par gen number. Or if you're using the just plain old energy, the winner's energy.
In other words, you'd beat the length.
A mile and 16th in terms of worms. These guys are worms. A mile and a quarter, and they're winners. What do you do?
Well, we don't handicap races over, we can't even input into our machine a race over a mile and 3/16, 9.5 furlongs. Because just as you say, you know, a mile and anything over a mile and 3/16, the jockey factor, the strategy factor of the race outweighs the pace factor. So we can't, we very simply can't handle those races. Okay, so you make the number the same way. The only difference is you use the beaten lanes to calculate these numbers on turf only. And you would compare the average you got from those turf races which with whatever kind of races you were comparing it today. Now that's one kind of surface adjustment.
Do you understand why we use wind energy and turf and dirt adjustments as opposed to?
No.
Because the early percentage differential between dirt and turf is so great that if you use the pace time of a turf race, it would appear no different than the pace time of a dirt race. Wind energy is markedly sustained, and in order to go from the dirt to the turf and be a winner, a dirt horse must demonstrate turf energy. The reason they take horses reluctantly off the turf to put them on the dirt is because they run too fast too early, can't handle the turf, so they say, he's an early speed horse, let's put him on the dirt. There's where your big money comes, which you have to use wind energy to see whether the horse wants to be on the turf or the dirt. That's the only thing.
You know, people always ask, how can you tell, how can you possibly bet a turf race where you have horses going on the turf for the first time? You have a very valuable tool here to know if the horse can meet the percentage early and late requirements of the turf by seeing what he demonstrated on the dirt. But let's get clear on this before we go on. Any questions on this? Yeah, Ken.
You know, you have to assume here there's not a thing you can do with Gulfstream and Hialeah, you know, like this.
Yeah, if you don't have internal fractions, it's kind of tricky to make these numbers.
Pardon?
It's a little tricky to make these numbers if you don't have the internals. And if you have a horse in the race that is running very, very good races at those tracks with no internals, you better pass that race.
On track-to-track variance, do you take that 0.15, for instance, and you take that off the variance of the distance?
That gets added or subtracted into the open adjustment. Let's take a concrete example. Okay. That's fine. This is what we have these questions for.
You got a computer yet?
I have a
computer,
but I don't have it.
Oh, okay.
Okay. That's my kind of man right there.
The open adjustment is going to... Now, this adjustment...
Let me tell you a secret with you.
Okay.
When you figure factor W, just put all your adjusting onto the factor W. That's what it ends up doing anyway.
That's right.
Just put it all on factor W. Then you don't have to go through all of it. Then you got it made.
The reason that's not just that's to show your shortcut, because if you were to put them in each of the fractions, by the time you got through dividing it would come out to be the same as putting it on factor W. But that adjustment that you put on must include, if you're using this method, the class adjustment as well. Okay? So it's, if you want to use Tom Brohammer's shortcut, which works perfectly well, -0.15 for each class level. So if your horse is coming from, let's say we have discovered that the difference in velocity between Philadelphia Park sprints and Belmont routes is 2 feet per second. Well, that would be our adjustment, 2 feet per second, except we look and we see that Philadelphia Park is what used to be called Keystone here. So is it three levels down? Is that what we determined?
Philly on there now.
Okay, it's three levels down from Aqueduct. Which over Belmont, which would mean we would subtract another 0.45 to make up for the class differential. Now, you must use this judiciously. If you're working on a cheap claiming race at Belmont, and you have a horse that, from Philadelphia who is running in like allowance, really good allowance races down there with even a higher purse value, you don't make that class adjustment. That you need to be a little judicious about that.
And when your aqueduct course goes to Monmouth or Philadelphia or wherever to get a cheap person and comes right home again, he's an aqueduct horse. He's not a Philadelphia horse. He just went down there to play around and get some money.
These class adjustments only refer to horses consistently running at those tracks.
Yeah. Or Garden Day or on Lejeune Garden Day?
There was another question up front here, or?
Where do you put this? The open adjustment, third fraction adjustment?
Open adjustment. Everything is going to go on to the open adjustment. If you haven't, want to make it very clear, we don't use this third fraction adjustment other than the exception of the bull ring third fraction adjustment.
Okay, if you were playing the bull rings, would you put it in the third fraction there, or would you still keep it open?
I don't know the answer to that.
For the fraction.
You'd have to make a third fraction adjustment. Hard enough to tell you how to do that.
Now, the question is, do you put the class adjustment also on the third fraction?
No.
No, you just put it once in the open adjustment.
No, I know you never did it.
No.
Yes.
Now, generating these pars supersedes that yellow manual chart on page 63.
Yes, that's how these yellow manual numbers were made.
Right.
And they were fine for years ago.
Right.
But right now, we want to know what's happening right now.
So, in this area, we have to calculate pars for different distances for half a dozen tracks in the New Jersey New York area.
No, you can use the baseline that you're using. All you need is to have the baseline. If it's good enough for you to enter, it's good enough to make your adjustments.
All right.
Now, enter Bob for his special.
This is mine.
Now we got a long string.
I've already talked to a couple of people about this. I tend to be very lazy when it comes to handicapping. I like to do as little work as possible. I don't keep any records. Nothing. Well, that was when I was serious about it. Instead of keeping pars, you need to keep pars when you first get started so you know what you're doing. You and everybody else who has not kept variant pars for 6 furlongs at Belmont or Monmouth or wherever the hell you're playing, so that you get in the habit of understanding what is a variant. And it'll point some stuff out to you. But once you've learned the method, and you've got a handle on what phase three really is about, and keeping the pars for 19 different tracks, like you say, I went through that, okay, and thousands of records, and I went through that exercise. Spent years doing it, and I learned a great deal from it. Out of that came a real simple method of handling phase three adjustments. I make all the adjustments right out of the pace line that I'm going to use today in the race. All right, I'll give you a plain and simple example. It can be track to track or sprint or route or whatever. It's on the board? Okay. Well, I can't read anyway.
I gave you three races, same distance or two different distances.
Okay. I'm still going to wing it, Harold. Let's say that we have 5 contenders in today's route, and it's a 9-furlong race at Belmont Park. Okay? And I'll look at 3 of the routers who have a race over the track, and I consider those to be the 3 top contenders at that distance. I'll just run the variant program or get factor W on a calculator and average those 3. And I've got this sprinter that just happened to ship all the way across the country from Santa Anita. He's a 6-furlong horse. He's going to run at these 3 or 4 9-furlong horses here at Belmont. Now, I need to adjust this horse and try and equalize his 6-furlong Santa Anita race to these professional 9-furlong horses here in Belmont. Now, how am I going to go about doing that? Very simple. I take the average of the pace that poor sucker's got to run at today, and that's all 3 of them guys. That's who he has to run at. He's not running in any pars or whatever Quirin's dug up in his millennium of books and what have you. He's got to run against those 3 routers today. So I'm going to take the average of those 3 races at 9 furlongs, and let's say it comes out to 51.5. That's their factor W. Then I'll take the factor W from the sprinter, and let's say it's a 57.2 for that 6-furlong race. I take 57.2 and I subtract from it the 51.5. Whatever that difference is my track to track and my sprint to route adjustment. That's it. It's
and
done.
And it covers the daily variance.
The daily variance. Finished. I put three adjustments into one single number. And believe me, it works. Now you can do that track to track, sprint to route, surface to surface. Any combinations you can think of, it all goes in the open adjustment and it's taken care of. That's the lazy man's way of doing it.
It's also very effective.
It's very effective, and you don't have to keep all these records. You don't have to keep these day-to-day. You do them right from the race that you're working on. This was first described in the factor analysis manual. Down and dirty handicap in the junior seniors.
Horse is not going to run against park times. He's going to run against the competition in the race today. So why not adjust him to the competition he's going to run in?
You take feet and length and everything else to the race.
No. Figure out the pace of the race. He's coming out of it. He ran against this pace. Okay? So I take the pace of that race against the pace of these three guys' races. Because that's about what he's going to have to shoot for today to beat these horses. If he can do it, more power to him.
Bob's been doing this up here with all these ultra-scan examples. He hasn't missed one yet.
I haven't missed a race out of this program.
Not one. It does work. It sounds too simple to work, but it works. You have the variant program to do this with, and they just feed the differences into your open adjustment. It really works.
Do you make an adjustment for class when you do that? I know it wasn't necessarily the last example you gave, but it was sort of a lateral move.
That's correct. I do, thanks to Tom Brohammer and his wonderful research, I'll use 0.15 for each level of track class. If I have a minor horse shipping up, let's say he's moving up four levels in track class, 4 times 15 is 60, he gets a minus 0.60 in that open adjustment, plus added to whatever the variant is. If a horse is dropping in class, let's say we got a bunch of sprinters at Belmont, four of them are staying at the same level, one guy's dropping two levels. He's going to get a plus 0.3 on his open adjustment just because he's dropping two levels in class.
Now comes the inevitable can of worms. Now that you've done all this stuff, it's real simple. Right, what do I do when I come across a horse that ran an active duck 3 days ago? He did his first, he did the first gap in 24 and change, where he's never done it in his life, can't possibly ever do it again, not in my mind. And it's the only race that looks like it is reasonable. He's got a reasonable chance to run back to that race. But that track was concrete that day, and he ran that day. The final time variant is out the window at this point. How can I use that baseline when I know it's going to come up going in runs like a maniac?
He's going to get a big minus.
He's going
to
get, he's going to get a big minus. It's going to work against him, not in his favor.
No, I'm just talking about, like this is standard, like this is horse to horse. He's running back to aqueduct today.
And if you're comparing this against other aqueduct sprinters,
right,
is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Well,
coming back to the daily variant that everybody has
there are two ways to answer your question. The first of which is, if that is truly a fraction to which that horse is an unreasonable fraction for that kind of horse at that kind of class, you shouldn't use that pace line, A. B, that speed, that increased speed might show up in the daily racing form variant. Now we all know that the daily racing form variant has its inherent drawbacks. It's useless for many things. However, if you keep, and the factor analysis goes, I don't want to go into great detail on this is all in factor analysis, but if you keep records and determine how many feet per second correlate to the difference in racing form variant, at most tracks it's somewhere between 0.07 and 0.10 or 1.1, somewhere in that range. Aqueduct and Belmont is generally 0.08 or 0.09. 0.09 feet per second per point of racing form variant. So if we know that aqueduct's average variant is, let us say, 20 in the inner track, and we use a 2-point, or I use a 2-point tolerance, plus or minus, So in other words, I won't adjust anything from a 22 down to an 18. But anything over and above that, if it's a 24, I would subtract from that 2 times whatever my feet per second difference was. If I'm using 0.08, I've used minus 0.16. In your example, maybe he ran that 44 and 3 because he was on an 11 track. And the difference between 11 and 18 is 7 daily racing form points, and you multiply that by 0.08, and you get a negative 0.56 adjustment. Okay. That'll usually take care of it.
The same truth. Using the daily racing form variant as in factor analysis was just showing you how it could be used as a ballpark figure.
Okay.
And it has been very satisfactory to a lot of people.
Okay.
However, this is more accurate because you'll never have the phenomenon here of a horse coming off a 22 variant running faster than a horse running off an 08 variant, which will frequently happen, not frequently, but periodically happen when using racing form variants.
This is a little more precise.
I'm still not arguing with this.
Same concept, it's just a little more precise, that's all. That's the only difference.
Yeah. Well, I lost it someplace.
I'm
sure
we're up with
the other one. Don't try and use both of them. Use more, pick one or the other, whichever suits your style.
No, the point I'm trying to make is that, I'm still back to this unreasonable race, which happened to be a very good one for the horse.
Right.
We're not using final time variance.
Right.
We're going to apply the variance in the sense that they're there already, but we're going to put an adjustment, in the open adjustment, to account for that unreasonable pace.
First of all, that's a mistake.
Bobby, I mean,
if the horse has never done that, if it's not in his past performance, and it's an unreasonable pace, then you're making a mistake by even choosing that as your pace line.
Bobby, let me say something.
Go ahead.
If you insist on using the horse, and you think that the horse may run back to that race.
No, I don't expect him to run that fast. I expect him to run a good race today.
All right, if you expect him to run and you want to put him in your computer and you want to adjust him, take the average variant of the other horses in the race, do this variant, take his variant, and adjust it. Not by the 0.08, but by this variant, and he will get him. Use the same concept. Right. Because he would get a negative adjustment and would bring him down equal.
Just as if it were a different track.
Would it be right to say a variant is a variant at this point?
It's a variant.
It's a variant.
It doesn't matter whether it's track to track or surface to surface or class to class. A variant is nothing more than adjusting those three fractions. That's all it is.
All right, well, I can look at that.
Yeah.
Bob, what you said before, you took three recruiters, average them, compared it to the sprinter, the track of it. Now, you applied the difference to the sprinter, correct?
Right.
Down?
That's correct.
That means the sprinter will never be better than all three of them.
Hey, Mike? Suppose you got a class adjustment as well?
You said that was one of the.
Right, we're talking about the pace of the race now. You haven't even figured beating lengths at the end of this little thing yet.
Okay, so you're taking and adding on to whatever.
We're talking about incremental pace here. We're going to look at the first, second, and third fraction. We're not talking about final time alone. And the beaten lengths have to come into effect
So it's not true that he's not never going to be better. In many cases, he's going to be better. Exactly. Assuming he is a better horse, yes.
Never run on the turf. I mean, the river races. And the entire, if they all 10 horses, not run on the turf.
You like hot dogs?
It's a real good answer.
And they never run on the turf.
The truth of the matter is, if you know the energy pattern required to win on your particular grass course, and if the horses that have been running on the dirt, if any of them demonstrate the wind energy pattern that is close to what the wind energy profile is on the grass course, then bet it. If he can do it on the dirt, he's probably going to do this, run the same way on the grass. And you're light years ahead of everybody else in the crowd. Because they don't know what energy is. They don't have any idea what energy is all about.
All the horses are born on grass.
That's right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Green shirt up here.
Five horses in the race, let's say they all come out of races with different distances, even different tracks, and different races out, right?
Oh boy.
And all you're doing is just creating a par variant for all of their pace lines and then adjusting them to that variant.
No, 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 that's not what we're saying. You're talking about the method that Bob is using now, right? No, what you're doing, I'm going to take an example not quite as severe as yours. Let's say we've got five contenders. Two of them are coming from today's track, and the other three are coming from Oshkosh Downs and all over the place. We're saying that we're making a par variant for this race by the pace lines of the horses that are coming from today's track, okay? Averaging them up, and then adjusting the shippers to that variant, adjusting the shippers, their pace of the race, to what we have arbitrarily almost, or seat of the pants said, is the par for today's race. Are you with me?
Yeah, okay, but let's say they weren't coming from a different track. Let's say it was the same track, different distance.
Different distance, same thing. The same exact thing. Once again, to be repetitious, but variance is variance is variance. It would be the same thing if we had a turf race today. We had two turf race pace lines, and we had three horses from the same track coming from the dirt sprint, dirt route, dirt route. We would make that par for those two turf races, and then adjust the other ones as if they were coming from another track, which in fact they are coming. It's right next door, but it's still another track. So we'd make that adjustment. That's why Howard is so fond of saying a variant is a variant is a variant. Could explain in a minute ultra scan, which is going
to, it doesn't matter whether it's track to track or surface to surface or race to race. I mean, a variant is to adjust for differences. The differences can be any number of combinations.
Yeah, Dan.
Two minor questions about daily variant. First of all, how do you account for the differences between weekend and weekday variants? You find what Emmanuel said or something else. Second of all, you described a moment ago really two different ways of dealing with daily variance. One is to know the average variance of the track, and also to know that it's, say, 0.08 per point. Have a two-point tolerance on either side of the average, and then adjust to that. The other, which you also described, which is in the factor analysis manual, is to say take the lowest variant, have no tolerance at all, the lowest variant of the contenders, have no tolerance at all, and adjust to that. Which do you prefer and why?
The way I described, of leaving the two points on either side and adjusting to that. It just, I don't know, it's always seemed to work very, very well for me at New York tracks. The difference between using those two methods, Dan, is so infinitesimal you can't believe it. I mean, we're really, right now, especially for those of you, and just take a breath now, okay? Because there's a lot of people who are novices with the method. This may seem all overwhelming by now. It will become simple as you use it, okay? As you use it, don't get overwhelmed now. We are talking. See this question? It's a good question. I don't mean to say anything about the question. We're talking about counting angels on the head of the pin now. We're really getting into very, very fine technique, which, you know, you need to understand, but take it easy, be easy on yourself now, because I see a lot of really furrowed and knit brows.
Don't over-D on this stuff, it's not necessary.
Weekend and week. Yeah, that's pretty, let me get the first one. Did you want to talk to that, Bob?
The thing is to
average it, keep your records at your track. You may need to change them, you may not. I think Jim's suggestion would be just use UltraScan.
Okay. Let me answer that. Usually the reason of the difference in the variant is slow horses versus fast horses.
Right.
Be careful making that adjustment. If you know that the better horses ran on the weekend and the times are faster, be leery of the daily variant to make an adjustment, except in extreme cases of the real, real fast horse when you know that he was on a concrete track, or you've taken a horse from a muddy or good track, or you know that the running style of the horse was affected by the daily variant. Study the past performance of the horse.
Can you define the word open for me? What do you mean by open?
Yes, it means that it goes on all three fractions. It's an open adjustment. And the opposite of...
You can change the word to pace adjustment.
Pace adjustment.
You can change it to anything you want, but it's applied to three fractions.
Howard used it to distinguish between that and the third fraction adjustment, which we only use in very specific situations now.
And it includes all the variants, class?
Everything, class,
right.
Surface, all of it. All goes in open adjustment.
Questions?
Okay, you've used the track-to-track minus 0.15 balance, whatever. Mm-hmm. What about the class levels? The chart that you had and one of the other?
Exactly the same. 0.15 for each level of class.
Level of class.
Right.
This is in phase three now, not an ultrascan.
Can I still claim to be a genius even though I don't do all this stuff?
Sure. Yeah, sure. Okay. As long as you're picking winners.
Right. Remember how we prefaced this? We preface this by saying, if you don't do this judiciously, you get yourself into more trouble than not. And remember that Bert Main's phase three readouts reflect no adjustments in the races he won in the Spaniel. And after you've exhausted your questions, we're going to show you how to make a meridian variant, which will make you say, well, why am I going through all this stupid...
and then projected variant.
And the reason we're going through all this is because you will not be satisfied if we showed you a meridian variant first.
Yeah, I was speaking with someone last night, who has my same profession of being a lawyer, and you know, he said, I was saying, why are you knocking your head out? You know how to use a meridian variant. And he said, no, I really love this. I really, really like this. The same with Tom Brohammer. He just enjoys this process so much. But you must use it judiciously.
He's a masochist.
Yeah, well, no. Hi, Dom. We love you, Dom. Love you and your variants. If you look on page 95 of the manual, there's something there. You know, sometimes you think these little things are there that Howard just puts them in for decoration. This is a very important word there, is that except to astute users, variant adjustments can be dangerous. Make them only when the situation obviously calls for equalization. In both phase three and ultrascan, raw figures are surprisingly predictive. Because that's what the horse is doing. This stuff is just what we're doing. Really. Be careful. The only absolute, sprint a route. Yeah, sure, you've got to make an adjustment. Everywhere else, just be cautious. Don't overdo this stuff. Can we talk about, if there are no questions, go on to meridian?
No. I just have one clarification about that super fast fraction you're talking about back there. Within UltraScan itself, there is a built-in variant that will bring them down.
Yes, that's right. We haven't gotten to that. That's right where we're going now. Okay. So if you've gone through questions now still on this. If you've gone through this torture part of the evening, we've got a very nice surprise for you. Yeah.
We actually get turf to dirt, dirt to turf. You're using pace of the horse in each case?
Okay.
Dirt to horse, wind energy, period.
That's what I meant.
Wind energy,
always.
Both ways. Turf
yes.
to dirt and
yes.
dirt.
Yes, turf to dirt, dirt to turf.
So
wind energy, period.
Wind
that's
energy.
It. That's it.
Okay.
No right. exceptions. Now to get around, I told Kenny Balfour, who would answer his question after dinner, it's after dinner. Yes, you can use wind energy and ultrascan. It is so slight a difference between wind energy and pace energy and ultrascan that you can use it with equal ability, with equal force, and it won't upset it. You cannot do that in phase three, because phase three has a different value for Beaton lengths, uses all three fraction, and those differences between pace energy and wind energy are the difference between winning the race and equalizing the horses before you see what the horse can do against the pace. In ultrascan, it's okay to use wind energy. But you're not into ultrascan unless you're into it. If you're into it, you're winning anyway. But don't start thinking about how to do the next step until you've accomplished this step. My recommendation is everyone gets 63% using no variance other than the ones in the manual. Do what the phase three manual will still get you 63% following it per se. When you hit 63%, now make these refinements. But until you're doing 63%, all these refinements are going to put you into a hopeless maze, believe me. You've got to overcome step A first. This, what we're talking about now, is for people who have accomplished their 63% and find that's child's play. So those of you who just got it, follow phase three the way it's written. And then we'll start worrying about variance. Now, Michael, let's take this race.
Oh, great.
It's got three. It's a 6-2-6 furlong lines and 1 6.5.
I know you that winger.
If you want to. People are going to ask you to do one, so you might as well have something to show them.
This is 2-6 furlong race and then 6.5.
Well, the times would suggest that to me.
This would be a bigger length than 6 furlong.
Well, and then just find an average energy and adjust them all to the average and show them how to make a meridian variant and how they're stroking themselves, because they're going to get the same horse if they did it that other way as they're going to get doing it this way.
Okay,
precisely.
This is how to make a meridian variant. We've just selected three pace lines. 2 for 6 furlong horses, 1 for 6.5 furlong horse. How do you get the meridian variant? We're going to go through the same procedure that we went through just a minute ago, and we're going to calculate the average pace of the race for each of these. Okay. Should we do it with a machine, however, or should we just do it by hand?
I'll just think up a number, Mikey. Pick a number. Anybody pick a number?
Pick a number.
Pick a number between 50 and 60.
52.
56, you say?
52.
That's be more realistic.
That's usually
55. 52 is all right. It's going to be a lot of money.
It doesn't matter.
It's going to be a lot of money. Pick a number. 55.2. That's fine. All right. What we're going to do is we're going to adjust every one of those lines to 55.2. Now somebody else adjusts all those lines to something else that you think the variance should be. And we're going to get the same horses in the same order, whichever way, whichever number you pick. Right?
Right.
Somebody else pick another number. Somebody else average it, or put it through your computer and come up with a...
Can we get an average pace number for this?
Anything you want.
Someone have a PAR generator,
20.
A variant? Bob, do you have a variant program right there?
Would you
help me with this, please?
Go ahead.
I'd like a 6 furlong variant number, 45.110.
I told you 57.1.
57.20?
Sure.
Excuse me?
I'll run it through the computer, but I'm sure that's right.
That's right.
Yeah, because I know everything.
One of Bob's big problems is omniscience.
My computer,
46.111.
Know that.
He just doesn't. He wasn't to discourage you.
He didn't deal with those
times.
Do you want me to show off?
Yeah.
The 4 is the one with the straight line and then the little...
5624.
Okay, give us a 6.5.
6.5.
2, 1, 16, and 4. In Italian?
Per favore.
6.5,
46, 2, 1, 16, and 4.
Really? 56, 24, exactly.
Surprise, surprise. Now, we have this...
No adjustment there.
No adjustment here. 56.24, 56.24. We have this 57.20. If we were to adjust everything to this number...
No, adjust the first to this number. You see what, how the horses come out.
Mm. All right, fine.
You can adjust it to this number now, wouldn't you? Because these are the same, so you're going to see what the difference is between these. What's the difference between these numbers, this number, and this number?
0.96. Okay, now, your variant is 0.96. Now subtract them from 5520. You're going to get a minus number. Okay, now enter the horses into your computers, anybody. And one of two people do it. One person do the race and put in as the open adjustment 0.96, and somebody else do the race point whatever the thing, and you see if you don't get the horses in exactly the same order.
Just want to go over that. You can use one of two techniques. You have the three variant numbers. You can take the highest one and adjust the others to that high one, which would mean these two races would get a plus 0.96, and you'd leave this alone. Or, if you wanted to adjust to this average, let's say it's 55.2, this would get a minus 2, and this would get a minus 1.04. And what we're saying is that they will come out exactly the same. Because if you put minus 0.96 on both of these, or you put minus 2 here and minus 0.104 here, it's exactly the same. Actually, you don't have to put minus 0.96 on this one. Leave these two alone.
0, 0,
and negative 0.96 here.
So now you got 0, 0, and a negative 2 here. You're going to get an even, whichever one of those adjustments you use. A meridian variant will give you precisely the same horses as if you went through this process. I positively guarantee you.
I will tell you.
So will I.
Does that mean in the only adjustment, assuming you use this, the only adjustment you'd ever look at would be track to track as far as class and class level, because this would take care of all others?
I hate to tell you, but a meridian variant would take care of that too. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Class because that's Jim's point all the time. Don't put in under class horses that are outclassed, or else you'll get...
Jimmy doesn't do any class variant because he doesn't put any horses that don't belong equally together. But
that's
you
what I mean.
Do it. Class variant adjustment, yes, 0.50, a track class 0.50,
right.
But you can even make a sprint to run adjustment using a meridian variant. Yes, sir.
The last point I didn't follow, up to that point, the sprint to route using meridian.
If you find a meridian variant, well, it's sprint to route just a little more tricky. Let's leave that back the way we have. That is a little more tricky, but you can make any other adjustment with a meridian as opposed to going through all that work.
Believe me, what he said.
Yeah, I got it, except for the sprinter route.
Sprinter route, you might not quite get a proper amount of adjustment, depending on how fast they were running the sprint. So sprinter route, make it from actual, create your own situation, out the pace. By the way, Bob showed you, you'll never go wrong doing that.
That it really does work. When Howard first developed UltraScan, it was based on a meridian variant, as most of us know. And Jim Bradshaw and I must have spent a year wasting a lot of serious time and energy trying to disprove that theory of using a meridian variant. I hate to tell you where the houses I could have bought in Maui and retired and comforted Well, all the time we wasted trying to disprove that theory of a meridian variance, so believe me, it does work.
Now, UltraScan is one more step beyond this. It actually is the same thing. It's the same thing. It takes a set of variables, a set of constants. It makes an arbitrary meridian, not arbitrary, it makes a carefully selected meridian variant. Certain, carefully selected arbitrary.
Yeah, pick from here.
And what it does is it says, okay, look, you got problems with surface and route to sprint and all the rest. Let's take all of these horses and let's see what they would do on a hypothetical mythical track, Sarton Downs.
What's the roughing in front of
that? Well, it's rough, all right. You take Sarton Downs and you take 50, whatever it is, feet per second for the second call and a certain number for the third fraction, and you make your variant number from that. And now you adjust everything to that meridian variant. That is the variant that UltraScan uses. That same technique is used if you use phase three numbers and use a meridian variant, such as we just showed.
Just so, the single one, only the open, not the third.
Just, right, in the open adjustment, not the third fraction. It will get you the same result. It's just two different ways of going about it. The reason UltraScan will get some more exotics and is a little more sensitive is because it doesn't deal with the direct velocity numbers, but with the percentile relationships between pace of the horse, pace of the race, adjusted to a meridian variant. So we don't even care what the surface is like, because we've projected what everything would be like if it ran on a hypothetical surface. Well, guess what? They're all running on a hypothetical.